Wonderful. I appreciate you folks singing for us, this family. What a blessing they are. Well, we're going to have their husband and dad come preach for us now. Brother Steve Williamson. I always want to call him Stevenson, but he's Brother Steve Williamson from down in Lexington, South Carolina. And it's an honor to have him with us. Hope you'll give him your undivided attention this morning.
Praise the Lord. You can call me Stevenson as long as you don't call me late for lunch, okay? That'll be okay. All right, it is good to be in the Lord's house this morning. I appreciate the Lord's goodness to us today. I do have a burden on my heart. I believe God will have us to deliver to you. Been praying much about it, meditating on it, thinking about it. I appreciate you, Pastor. Appreciate this church. And man, it's amazing, this meeting going on that long, brother. It is a testimony of God's goodness, God's grace, and God's provision here to this church. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Is where we'll be taking our text. Saying I'm beating that to death. Out of the book of Philippians. I want you to look with me in Philippians chapter 3. Okay, Philippians chapter 3 is where we'll start. And we'll read some scriptures out of the book of Philippians chapter 3 and try to give you our thought here in just a second. I want you to look with me in chapter 3 of the book of Philippians. And the Bible says in verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung." Look at this phrase, "that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith, not in Christ, but through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, be made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Look at this now. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." One more verse. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if any in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." I want to preach to our hearts this morning on a simple thought: pursuing the prize. Pursuing the prize. Let's pray. Father, help us. I pray you'd settle our hearts. I pray that you'd help me, Lord, get everything off my heart that you have put on it for this service. Help me, Lord, to take the burden that's ever needful in this hour that we're living in. Father, we're living in dark days, but oh, what good days. The power of God has never been diminished from the days of Calvary. The power of your blood has never lost one ounce of its power. Lord, the Spirit of God has never been weakened throughout the times and ages over the thousands of years since you shed your blood on Calvary. And I know that there's ever much power to live for God today as there ever has been. And I know we could be as holy today as any man has ever been holy through the power of your Spirit. I pray that you'd help us today. Lord, I know this is a preacher's jubilee, and I pray that you'll strengthen the men of God that are here today. I pray that you'll unctionize them, empower them, refresh them, encourage them, Lord, strengthen them for the days ahead of their ministry. I pray for those that are not preachers, Lord, that you'll speak to their heart in a great way, that you'll get the glory out of everything throughout this day. Lord, my heart is encouraged, excited about hearing the other men that will preach today. I'm anticipating you doing something in my heart and my life that will have eternal value, that will change me and conform me more to the image of your Son. We thank you and praise you for it now. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. I hope to expound the text just a little bit today and try to get rid of the burden and the thought that God's given me. We know that Paul talks about his past life and he counts all things but dung, all the past. I believe we're going to see a forgetting of two things in the text. Number one, his old life, everything that he counted gain and all the things in the Jewish religion and being of the tribe of Benjamin and being circumcised and everything that he told us in the verses before. He said, all those things that I thought were gain to me, they were nothing. I count them but loss. And I count them but loss, and the one thing that I want to win is Christ. And can I say the day that you took Jesus Christ as your Savior, you won Jesus Christ. You have Christ. You're not trying to get Christ, you have Him. But I hope today to help our mindset get into what Paul's mindset was in the text of the Scripture. He said that let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded. We need to be of this mind. Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained. Look at this. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. You know what that means, the same rule? A rule is that which is established as a principle or a standard by which anything is to be regulated. See what Paul's saying? There's a rule that I want to give you in this Christian life. There's a rule in which we need to run this race pursuing this prize. There's something that we must run by the rule. And there's a rule that I want to give you today, and let us be thus minded. And he said, if anybody is any otherwise minded, may God take the very rule He's given us and may God reveal even this unto you. Okay? So in the text of Scripture, we find that Paul is talking about the faith of Christ. If we understand anything is what justifies me, the doctrine that is lost in all of your other versions of the Bible. Your Bible on numerous occasions talks about the faith of Christ. All your other Bibles say faith in Christ. The King James Bible didn't get it understood, and the translators understood the difference between the faith of Christ and faith in Christ. You'll find both of those terms in your Bible. And you understand that if it was all depending on my faith throughout my Christian life to keep me saved, I'd lose it for sure. What keeps me is not my faith, it is His faith. And at the moment, listen, you'll never get the faith of Christ as a gift. It is the faith of Christ that justifies me. When I take my belief and my faith and I believe the Word of God and trust Christ and take God at His Word, at that moment God said, I choose that if you'll put your faith in me, I'll put the faith of my Son in you. And at the moment of salvation, when I believe the gospel, God took the faith of Jesus Christ as His Spirit came into my heart and Christ cried, Abba, Father. That's what He cried out, Abba, Father. I was a child of God by the Spirit of Christ which is put in me. So I understand that I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He was made sin for me. He knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So one thing very clear in the text is Paul is not trying to say, I'm doing my best to get saved. I'm trying to apprehend. I'm trying to attain. I'm trying to do enough so Christ will come in my heart. That's not what he's saying. He's letting us know he has the faith of Christ. He has been justified. What justifies you today, if you're saved, is because God put the faith of His Son who never failed. The Bible says we having the same spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak. Christ said, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. No matter what he suffered, his faith was never shaken. Believed God and believed His Word and every promise ever given him in the Bible. He believed it wholly and his faith never wavered. So you know what happens when you get saved? God takes the faith of His Son and imparts it to you for your justification. My justification is not my faith, it's in His faith. And so Paul lets us know that. He says that he has the faith of Christ, but I want you to grab what Paul is fixing to tell us here. He says about the faith of Christ in verse 9, verse 10, that I may know Him. You know what Paul's desire is? He said, I want to know Christ. I want to win Christ. I want to know the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. You know, if we're made conformable to His death, Christ died unto sin once. Sin will be nullified in our lives. See, we'll have power over sin. The body of sin is nailed to the cross. Romans 6 said we need to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. That old man's been nailed to the cross. He's dead. I must die to myself daily. But I understand if by any means, look at this, I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Let's look at Paul's thought process here, and we'll go to another portion of Scripture to see it bear out in his life. He said, I'm not going to act. He just told us he had the faith of Christ. But then he says, not as though I'd already attained. Either were already perfect. Now, do you see verse 15? Let us therefore as many be perfect. See, Paul's not... Do you understand what happened the moment God saved you? There's a perfection that happened. Then that he sanctified, Paul said, he what? Perfected forever. He said, God has perfected me forever. I have an eternal perfection. He said, but listen, I don't want to live my life grabbing a hold of something he's already done. I want to live my life for Christ every day as if I'm trying to attain that he's already given me. I want to live to... Listen, we have such cheap grace today. Cheap grace. I'm saved by grace. Thank God you're saved by grace. But I find out in the book of Titus, the same grace that saved me is the same grace that teaches me to deny ungodliness and worldly lust that I may live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The wicked, vile, ungodly, dark world, godless, a world without hope and without God. You know what happens? His grace helps me in this present world. This evil world. But we have such cheap grace today. People get saved and they put it on autopilot and they just cruise in their life doing what they want to do, live how they want to live, and they're just saved by the grace of God. And it seems so... Listen, hey, grace wasn't cheap. Grace cost a great price. But today it seems like the church of the living God looks at grace as if it was so cheap. You know what Paul's telling us in the text? He said, every day of my life, I'm so thankful for the grace of God. What the Lord did for me that I could not do. And this is a rule in which I want to live my Christian life. I want to live my Christian life. Listen, I've been apprehended. Christ has laid hold of me. Christ has captured my heart. Christ has claimed me for His own. I've been apprehended. But the truth is, I want to live my life like I'm trying to apprehend that for which I've already been apprehended. All of our churches would be different if every one of us left today saying, I'm going to live like I'm trying to attain it. We know we can attain it. It's attained through grace. But you know what he said? I'm going to do my best every day of my life to go after, press forward, push forward. I want to win Christ. You understand this as the term of running a race. He's running and there's a finish line and there's a goal and he's pressing toward the prize of that. There's a prize at the end to be attained of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what he said? I want to win Christ. Christ is the prize. And I want to press forward. I want to push forward. Do you understand that word press? The word press deals with putting forth energy, effort, exerting, pushing forward. See, he tells us in the text, Paul, why are you having to press so much? Why are you having to push forward so much? Look at verse 21. Who shall change our vile body? I'm telling you, friend, we've got a vile body that we live in. It is vile. Absolute press means to urge with force, to urge, to strain in motion, to urge forward with force, to urge forward with all of one's efforts. Listen, this old vile body of mine and this vile body of yours, it has to do with moral badness, with immorality. It is just vile. It is filthy. Paul said, what is hindering me every day in this race? This old vile body. He said, oh, someday this old vile body shall be changed like to His glorious body. You know what we battle? You know what we're pushing against? You know what's trying to hold us back? You know what's standing in my way every day of serving Christ with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, and strength? It's not you. It's not my church members. It's not the government. It's not society. It's this old man that I live with, this old vile flesh of mine. And Paul said, I'm going to fight. You remember the text of Scripture? I want you to hold your place there. I want to take you over to the book of Corinthians. I want to show you something. We're going to come back here. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, here's what the Bible says. Very familiar text to you, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize. So run, he said, run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Look what he said. But we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. He knows what he's running, how he's running, and shape in which he's running. Then he said, not only do I run, but so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air, but I keep, what's your fight, Paul? I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? A castaway. You know what he said? I fight. Not as one that beateth the air. Paul said, I'm fighting. How many of y'all ever seen the guys come out into the boxing arena and he stands in the corner and I mean, man, he's beating the air. And it looks like, oh man, he's a fighter. He's a fighter. He gets inside the ring and he's jumping around. The guy just waits, bam, one punch. You realize he wasn't a fighter. It looked good in the corner. He's beating the air, but there's no victory. I mean, he looks like he's doing something, but the problem is he's not fighting. He is not. He does not have that resistance. He's not. It all seems like there's victory when there's nothing you're fighting. It was kind of like my boys. I got three boys. We like the rough house. We like the wrestle and all that stuff. And sometimes things going on, my boys will step back and they'll be like playing with their dad. And I'm like, it looks good while you're beating the air. But when you try to put it in action, something else happens. Amen? I mean, they're imagining. I mean, they're all them things they want to do. And they're feeling pretty big about themselves as long as it's just them in the air. But when they run into a farce, they realize all that stuff I thought was going to happen, boy, it just discouraged him. Hey, friend, we better step into reality. Spiritual reality. You have vile body. And if you don't determine every day of your life, could you imagine if the church of the living God woke up every day and said, Lord, I know you've given me your faith. And I know that you've apprehended me for eternal life. And I know that you've given Christ in my heart. But I'm going to run this race, all that's within me. I'm going to press and I'm going to reach for it. There's a prize at the finish line. I want to finish. I want to run well. And Lord, I'm going to do my best as to attain Christ. Your life would be different and mine would be too from this day forward. Here's the problem that happens with us preachers sometimes. We get to a plateau. We get to a place spiritually. We've attained. We're in the pastorate. Things, great spiritual growth in our life. And sometimes we get to the place we become stagnant. Comfortable where we are spiritually. And things that we always want to be involved and we want to do and ministering, we begin to back up. We become lazy and we let the church go on autopilot. We let men begin. Listen, I'm all for delegating men doing things. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord Jesus always did with His apostles. He was in the middle of it and they were following Him. I'm going to tell you, friend, we better be the spiritual leaders in our church on the front line. Listen, I take my guys, we pass out tracts, I'm there. We street preach on Saturday night, I'm there. When we go on visitation, I'm there. I am not going to back up and put it on autopilot and say, I've done my dues and let somebody else say, hey, friend, I'm going to live like I'm going to attain Christ. Pressing forward. Pressing. You know what your Bible says in the book of Colossians? Turn there with me. Let me show you something. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians chapter 1. The Bible says that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Do you see what He said? Walk worthy. Worthy means deserving of the thing obtained. God said that you, listen, I know that there was nothing I could do as a sinner that would cause me to be worthy of Christ. But you know what God expects out of you now that you're saved? You have the power of His Spirit. Hey, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 that through the Spirit the law can be fulfilled in us. Christ walked in the Spirit every day of His life. The temptation in the wilderness, you know what it's teaching us? See, you have a personal spirit. Christ's personal spirit was the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was His Spirit.
And when you know what he's telling us in the temptation of the wilderness? As he's walking through temptation, he's walking in the Spirit. There's never a time he couldn't be in the Spirit. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you know what he's showing us? He's showing us a Spirit-filled, victorious life that if we'll walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Can't happen. It's impossible. It cannot happen. And so we understand in the text that I can walk worthy if I get up every day and decide to walk in the Spirit. You imagine the Lord looking at you. Well done. Listen, well done. Do you think the Lord's going to say well done to some Christians that did not do well? It's not going to lie on the day of judgment. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying there's some that's going to hear well done. And others are going to wish they did hear well done. I've never been one. I've played sports my whole life. And if I run a race and did not finish, see, we're living in such a weak society, they want everybody to be winners. You fall out and, I just can't run no more, and you make half the race and you fall out and you just sit on the side and you just give up. And then all of a sudden they're giving out awards and they clap for you and like you really did something. And people stand up and smile because they get, listen, that's not to be awarded. We may not, listen, you know what, the Lord doesn't have the fact that we're going to outrun each other and whoever gets their first finish line, if you cross the finish line, you're a winner. I want to stand before Him someday as a child of God, and I want to hear well done because I did well. Because I run well. I did not fight as one beat in the air. I kept under my body. You know what most of the fight's going to be in this race of yours every day? Fighting this old vile body. This old vile flesh. Hey, preachers, I've been preaching 26, 27 years now. That old fellow's just as tough as he's ever been. That old dead man, I'm telling you, the power that he has not lost any of his power. But I should have gained more power with God that helps that to seem to diminish. It's not because he lost power. It's because I've been strengthened with all might by His Spirit in the inner man. I want you to look with me. Not only listen to the Bible, I'll give you two other verses. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:12, we can walk worthy of God. In Ephesians 4, we can walk, verse 1, we can walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Look back in the book of Philippians. Then I'm going to turn to one more portion of Scripture, give you a few things and we'll be done. Look in the book of Philippians chapter 3 with me again. Look what he said. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. See, this is a rule that He wants us to live by every day. He's already been apprehended. He's apprehended. He's won Christ. He has a faith of Christ. He said, I want you to know something. Why I live my life the way I live, I do not count myself to have apprehended. We would change if we'd take that mindset. We'd change. Our ministries would change. My ministry would change. If I get a hold of this like, and I live in it like Paul did, it would revolutionize our ministries, our churches. We'd have revival. Every one of our churches would experience revival if we went back home saying, you know what? I know God's given to me by grace, but He wants me to walk worthy and I'm going to do my best. I'm not going to count myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do not count myself to have apprehended. Look what he said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I believe this is a problem. I don't believe he's talking about his past things in the old life he counted loss. I believe a guy running a race, listen to me, the guy that's running a race, if he's run a race and it's a mile race, when he gets 3/4 of the race behind him, he doesn't look back and say, well, that's it, I've done good enough. I'm going to look back and say, man, look how far I've come. Look how much ground I have gained. I know I may not gain as much ground as others, but that's a pretty good gain of ground. And then stop right there and rest content. You know what Paul said? I'm glad I've done everything I've done for God, but I'm not looking back. I'm not putting my hand to the plow and looking back, being unfit for the kingdom of God. I'm going to forget those things that are behind, and I'm going to keep looking forward. There's a finish line. There's a prize. I'm going to press. I feel like giving up, but I'm not going to quit here and be satisfied with the ground that I have gained. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep reaching. I'm going to go forward for the cause of Christ. I'm not going to be hindered and be satisfied with that which was behind. How many of y'all, listen to me, I've got people in my church. When you start talking about what God's doing right now, they'll pipe up and they'll talk about what they did 15 years ago. They're living in past things. They're not reaching forward anymore. They'll perk up and they'll talk about the past. Listen, friend, we are to always have present, fresh moments with God of what God has done and how God is using us and how we're pressing forward and reaching. We are to have new experiences with God every day. And I've been around the crowd. Oh yeah, they used to pass out tracts. They used to street preach. They used to do this. And they used to go on mission trips. And they used to, that. All that stuff they used to do. Anybody been around that crowd? I don't want to be part of that crowd, brother. I don't want to live in the things which are behind. I'm thankful. Oh dear God, I'm thankful. But I'm telling you, there's so much ahead. The prize is before us. Not behind us. Everything we've done is getting us to the prize. To attain the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look what your Bible says now. I press toward, going toward it, toward the finish line. The mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore. Here's the mind He's trying to give us. As many be perfect. You see what He said before? He talked about, not as though I'm already perfect. That's what He said in verse 12. But now He's telling you in verse 15, listen, I'm not saying I'm not perfect in Christ. But I want my life in the flesh to try to match up spiritually with what God's done for me. I want my everyday to try to line up with what God did for me on the day of salvation. All the gifts He's given me, the Spirit He's given me, the life He's given me, the salvation He's given me. That's what I want. That's what Paul said he wanted. And he said, as many be perfect, be thus minded. Let this mind be in you. And if any in anything you be otherwise minded, you know what he said? God shall reveal even this unto you. You know what God wants us to get a hold of today? This very thought. May God reveal it to us. Some Christians that are very carnal Christians, that very thought seem to depress them. Oh, is it effort? Sure it is. But it's worth it. Nobody ever lived for God by accident. I've said it 1,000 times. Nobody's ever sold out by accident. Nobody's ever served God by... Nobody's ever done great things for God by accident being lazy. It will be on purpose. It will be on design. It will be because you have purpose to serve God. And if you don't... If you do not wake up every day purposing this, it won't happen. You've got a purpose. We must purpose. God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us all do this. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. You know what Paul's saying? Many times in the Scripture you're talking about marking the wicked, but he said mark those that are living this way. Mark them. Look at those and mark them. Put your eyes on them and let them be an example unto you. And he said, look, mark them and follow us. Paul said, I am in this crowd with this kind of mind. Put a mark on me. The Bible says, David said, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. Psalm 101. Wouldn't it be great? You know what our churches need? You know what my church needs? They need a pastor to strive to be that kind of example so they can mark me and follow me. They need us. They need it. We need men of this caliber to be marked. That's the caliber thereof, and then some people can get on board and begin to follow. But look at the contrast. Look at the contrast. For many, not a few. Paul said, "Let me tell you something." He's talking about, in the next verse, he's talking about saved people. Context is not lost people. People in the church. People say they're serving Christ. People said they're saved. He said, "For many, I want to tell you there are many." Many walk of whom I have told you often. Paul said, I told you over and over and over. I preached against this. And now I tell you, even weeping. Paul's not weeping over lost people trying to live saved. He's weeping over saved people living like they're lost. He said, I tell you right now, and tears are running down the face of the man of God as he's writing the scripture. He said, I tell you right now, even weeping, Paul, why are you weeping? That they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Go to the book of James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Christians, born again believers, enemies of God. You want to know why? Because, brother, if I said I'm saved and God saved me, born again, put a spirit in me, and then I begin to get around the world and I live like they do and I tell them I'm saved, there's no power in my life to point them to Calvary. I become an enemy of the very cross that I say changed me. I'm hindering the power of the cross. The message, hey, the Bible says you can make the cross of none effect. You know what it means? Calvary has a power to save any sinner, but I can make the cross of no effect. How do I do it? When I become the enemy of God. Paul said, I'm weeping. I want to tell you, I look around, and I want you to be this minded, but there's many. Many, many, many that have gone this way. Many that are serving their flesh. Many that are not serving God. He said in the text, he said, for many walk of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping. They're the enemies of the cross of Christ. What's going to happen to these? Not talking about eternal destruction. Whose end is destruction? You keep walking, listen, destruction. Sin and flesh will lead to your destruction. He said, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Well, that's convicting. We're living in that generation. When the Spirit of God can't control them, this controls them. Let's just be honest. When this speaks, we listen, we get to moving. He speaks, we ain't got time for it. He's talking about a generation who is so fleshly minded that they can't get their mind on Christ and eternity. They're glad to be saved. They're glad to have salvation. They've got the idea of cheap grace. He paid it all. Thank God He did. I've got it. Oh well, praise God, I'm going to heaven someday. And they go about, they go to church, but they live after earthly things. He said, you're the enemy. You're the enemy of the prize. You're the enemy of the prize. You're the enemy of Calvary. You're the enemy of Christ. You're the enemy of the cross. And here's what He said. He said, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory, look at this now, is in their shame. All the things keeping them from serving God. They brag about it, talk about it, glory in it. Their glory is in their shame. And here's what He said. Who are these believers? What's their problem? Who mind earthly things. You know what Paul's fixing to tell us about Christ being the prize? Look what he says in the next verse for our conversations in heaven. He said, I'm setting my affection on things above. Not on things on the earth. Setting them on where Christ sitteth on the right hand. That's the prize. I'm running this race. I know He saved me. I know heaven's my home. I know how I have obtained. I know I've been apprehended. I know I'm perfect. But He said He wants me to walk worthy of Him. And I'm going to do my best every day. When I get there, He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. I don't know about you. It's very convicting. Very, very, very convicting. Very few Christians, I'm putting myself in it, ever really get in that place. Very few. The truth is we all, according to the Scripture, should be of this mind and this rule to try to get there. That ought to be the desire of our heart, to please Him in all things. For Him to be glorified in my body, whether by life or death, Christ be magnified. That should be the theme of our heart. Look at this, and here's what He said. Our conversation is heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body. According to the working, how can you really live that kind of life? Well, you have the power of the Spirit of God. Isn't it sad when I read about men in the Old Testament that were so faithful? I'm convicted because they did not have what I have. They didn't have the Holy Ghost of God living in them. They did not have the power of the unction of the Holy. They did not have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost living in their body to help them throughout the day and strengthen them and speak with them from the inside. And He did not give them a pure conscience and an eternal salvation. They didn't have that. And I look at that and, man, how many times they shine more than most Christians in the Church of the Living God. We're without excuse. I'm without excuse. We're without excuse. Here's what He said. He shall change our vile body. Oh, man. Paul said, listen, there's coming a day I won't fight this old rascal anymore. Let's just be honest. Our body is vile. It wants to commit immorality. And what you're going to have to do is keep under your body, bring it into subjection. Because if not, when you go to tell others about Christ, the Bible says you're a castaway, like a piece of trash, driftwood, just a castaway. You have no meaning, and you become the very enemy of the cross that you said that saved you. And so the Scripture says, according to the working whereby, look at this, He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. I was going to, and I'm not going to this morning. I want you are to go to the book of Acts chapter 20. I believe God has let me convey the thought of my heart, and I don't want to wear you out. Don't want to prolong the point. But Paul, throughout the text, talked about how these things haven't changed him. Acts chapter 20. Didn't change me. At all seasons, I was the same. All seasons. Didn't matter whether it was what the season was. And listen, so many Christians, the season changes and it gets hard, and it's a winter season and it's a hard season. You let it change you. Paul said, the seasons have not changed me. I was the same in all seasons. Why? He's looking to the prize. He's not looking at the season. He's not looking at the effects. He's not even looking at how it's affecting him. He's pressing forward because he's got his eyes on the prize. He's reaching. He's reaching forward when all of that is against him. He said, I'm not letting the season deter me from what I'm trying to. I know I've gained it. But oh, I want him to know I love him so much that he's the prize and I'm pursuing him. Not only he said, listen, these things have not changed me. And then he said, I kept on, he talked about the fact of kept on serving. I just kept on serving. No matter what happened, I kept on serving. And then he talked about three times in Acts chapter 20, the tears. Oh, the many tears. Tears. I'm telling you, you're going to serve God, there's going to be tears. He told the book of 2 Corinthians, he said, I'm writing that. See, he wrote the book of Philippians weeping. Tears. Tears didn't beset him from running. He didn't say, that's it. I've preached, and there's many that just don't get it. I just give up. I throw in the towel. I'm just tired of it. He said, no, friend, the prize is still worth pursuing. Whether you pursue it, if you don't get on board, and then you're that one that glories in his shame and you mind earthly things, my conversation's in heaven, from whence I'm looking for the Savior. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have to keep on looking. Then he talked about the temptations that befell him, the lying in wait in the Jews. You realize there are some people who want to see you fall. Some people want to see you out. Some people along the way are going to want to destroy you and hurt you. But you know what? He didn't get so tied up with that crowd that was against him that it sidetracked him. So I said, I quit. There's going to be people in our churches get sideways. I've had them get sideways with me. I've had them wreak havoc in the church. But I'm going to tell you, friend, I'm not getting my eyes on that and let that control my life, control my ministry, and embitter me against everything that God's done. I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize. I'm not letting a carnal family or a carnal man that don't want to serve God, I'm not going to let it get my eyes off the prize. I'm not going to let it. Talk about temptation. You know what happens in temptation? It's an action and a process of proving and testing someone through trial. You know what temptation is going to do? It's going to prove what you are. It's going to test what kind of fortitude you have spiritually. It's going to put you to the test. He talked about them lying in wait. There's going to be enemies. Going to be enemies. And then he said in verse 20 in the book of Acts chapter 20, he said, I kept nothing back. Nothing back that was profitable unto you. You know what is profitable? The Word of God, the man of God to be truly furnished unto all good works. The Scripture is profitable. You know what's profitable for? Doctrine. He said, I'm going to keep teaching you the book. Hey, we still need Bible expository doctrine in our churches. He said, doctrine, reproof. I'm going to keep telling you you're wrong when you're wrong. correction. I'm going to correct you. Correction and instruction. See, some people don't like to be told they're wrong. They don't want to be rebuked when they're wrong. And for sure, they don't want you to tell them how to do it. He said, whether you liked it or not, I didn't keep it back from you. I kept on telling you because it's profitable unto you. And then he said, you know, he said he still is a man that preached repentance in verse 21 and faith toward God, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man in verse 22 of the book of Acts chapter 20 who was bound in the Spirit. He had some determination about him. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. We can argue about whether he should have went or not, but here's the problem. He was a man that had some determination about him in the ministry. He said, I'm going. They said, oh, don't go. He said, look, why weep ye and mean to break my heart? I am ready to be bound. I'm ready to be off. You're not going to stop me. God, give us some men that can, that have enough fortitude, they won't be stopped. He said, I'm bound in the Spirit. I am tied up. I have been captured. I am not a free man. I'm bound in my Spirit. God, give us some men when it gets tough. They're bound in the Spirit to serve God. They're not going to quit. And not only that, persecution come his way. And he said, none of these things move me. None of difficulty. Lying in wait of the Jews. People against me. People hating me. People persecuting me. Seasons against me. No matter what happened, wolves enter in. He rises. He said, look, I cease not to warn you day and night for 3 years with tears. Wept. Imagine the man of God preaching for 3 years, day and night, warning them about wolves and disciples arising, men arising among yourselves, pulling away disciples out of the church and wolves devouring the flock. And Paul told him about it and just wept and wept and wept. Broke his heart and knew it was going to happen. He didn't say, well, all my effort when I leave, my labor is going to be in vain. Wolves are going to destroy it all. And just throw in the towel. No, he didn't throw in the towel. He said, I'm going to win Christ. Me winning Christ is not hinged on whether you serve God or not. I'm going after Him. I'm going after Him. And so here's what he said. He was pure from the blood of all men. And he gets down to the end of the book of Acts chapter 20 and he begins to tell them about how he's going to leave and they're going to see his face no more. You know what happens sometime in the ministry if you serve God? It will separate you from those you love. God may send you cross seas. I know what it is. 5 years, 4.5 years I spent on the mission field. Me and my wife got married. We got married 5 days later. We were on the mission field, spent 4.5 years. She'd only seen it by picture, only seen it by video. And she had to leave her mom and dad willfully for the cause of Christ. We went, wept, seeing our parents leaving our church, going, why, with all the tears and all the separation of love, why would we leave family that we love so much? Because we're pursuing the prize. We love Him. Sometimes serving God. And I know, listen, we were in love and we got to the mission field and my wife walked in and it's been a long, long days and a gone from her mom and everything. And she walked in and the reality of being away from everybody, she broke down. Not because she didn't love God. Started crying. I cried. We lay there for hours, just held it and cried. Realized, does it hurt? Sure it hurts. I mean, being separated from, because you know how they all wept sore and they laid on Paul's neck and they kissed him and Paul wept. He said, look, there's going to be some heartache in serving God. But listen, we cannot let it stop us from pursuing the prize. We must keep reaching forward. I know that I love you. I may never see your face again, but He's worth it. He's worth it. Pursue the prize. It may separate you. Mom and dad, God may call your sons and daughters to the mission field. Some parents not willing, wreak havoc, stop their kids from serving God because that means more to them than trying to apprehend that for which they've been apprehended. And instead of trying to attain that which they already see themselves obtaining so they can have cheap, lazy grace in their lives. Instead of keep pressing, keep reaching, keep going forward. Do you know what happens? I'll read you one last verse. He said in the book of Acts chapter 20, not going there, going to 2 Timothy, he said that I might finish my course with joy. You know what I have seen in the ministry sometime? I've seen some finish, but they sure were miserable. I've seen some preachers at the end of their race bitter, mad at their church, upset at the brethren. I've seen them bitter. I've seen them cold. I've seen at the end of their ministry, they were mean-spirited. That's not what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to finish this. We're supposed to finish our course with what? Joy. The ministry, God has given us a ministry. He entrusted us with it. And whenever I get to the end and I cross the racing line, I'm not supposed to be mad and upset because of the race and how bad it was and how hard it was. I come across the finish line and I see Christ. And there's joy. At the end of the race, I'm not miserable. I'm not cold. I'm not indifferent. I'm not hard-hearted. I'm not mean-spirited because I've had my eyes on the prize. And when I cross the finish line and I finish my race and my course is done, the apprehension that I already have, I'll stand before Him and have done my best. I want you to look in the book of Timothy, last verse we're done. You know, most of you men know it. You've preached it. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered. He's down to the end. And the time of my departure is at hand. He's lived his life. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Let me make this last statement and I'm done. We will not be able to say, I have, till we make our mind up, I will. Psalms chapter 18, verse 1. David made this statement. I will love the Lord. He determined, I'm going to love the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 1. David didn't say, I will love the Lord. David said, I love the Lord. You want to know why all those chapters later? He didn't have to write down, I will love the Lord. Because he made his mind up early in his life, he will love the Lord. And he got down to the end, he said, I'm not going to tell you I will. I'm going to tell you I have. And I have because I said I will. We will never be able to say I have till we first say I will. That is some spiritual purpose. Spiritual purpose. Wouldn't it be great down at the end, fellas, with joy to be able to say, I fought a good fight. I fought. I finished my course. I finished it. God gave me a course. I ran it. I crossed the finish line. And the only way I got, I kept pressing. I kept reaching. I kept going forward. I forgot all that's behind. I did not live in my spiritual past and spiritual victories and ground that I had gained. I kept realizing there's more ground to gain for God. And I got down to the end and I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there's something laid up for us. Imagine the Lord on that day crowning us. Crowns only come to those who persevered and pursued in this wicked world that we live in. If you be any other minded, may God even reveal this unto you, Brother Jarvis.